80s, I would get on an airplane and fly out of Denver, and I wouldn't feel any peace until the wheels were up in the belly of the plane. And one day, God sent me on a long journey. It was several thousand miles. He said, I don't want you to read your Bible. I don't want you to read your notebook. I want you to read all secular material. I want you to get off of this track that you've been on that seems to be driving you crazy. Because your focus here, you're becoming obsessed. You need something else in your life here. And I bought some magazines at the airport, and I forced myself to read things that weren't of Scripture, because God wanted me to have a new focus. He wanted to give my emotions some time to heal. And I think that's good counsel for a lot of us. We just need to unhook. We've been under the load too long.
Yes, I agree with you. Now, the solution to isolation is John 10:10, and all of us know that. I know if I asked most of you that are listening, if you knew that, you'd say, oh, yeah, I do. I came that they might have life and life abundantly. And, you know, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come that you might have life and life abundantly. And also Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. And we tell you to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the people around you. You know, it says in the Word, all nations, but all those that you know around you. Make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, one of the greatest scriptures that we know that it gives us peace, and I say this often, is Psalm 34, Darren. And right in the middle of the psalm, David is saying, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, when David wrote this psalm, he was fleeing from Saul, and he was fleeing into the wilderness from Saul. He had 400 disillusioned men, rejected men, and he was running for his life. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. See, he's letting his emotions, like you just said, Darren, he's making them heal. He's picturing and visualizing green pastures. Even though right now he's in the middle of barren wilderness, he pictures himself back in the pastures, shepherding the sheep of his father, Jesse. He says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And when you went away, God restored your soul for a while. That's what we need sometimes. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Fear was not a part of David's life. He overcame it through the Word of God and through meditating on God.
You know, Barb, often we hear this chapter only at funerals. It's not meant just
no,
for funerals.
No, it sure isn't.
And many times we need to treat ourselves emotionally and spiritually with the Word of God. And where it says, he leads me beside still waters, I find water very cleansing. I like to go down to the Pacific Ocean and just sit there by the hour. Not do anything, not read anything, not talk to anybody, just lean back on a rock. Mm-hmm. And the last time I was out there, matter of fact, they put these huge rocks down kind of to break the tide that comes in. And I was on this rock, and this little bird was just irritating. And finally, I turned around and said, would you be quiet? This little bird turned sideways to me, and it just went up and down like deep knee bends. And like, what do you think you're doing? This is my territory, not yours. But anyway, I was out there meditating with the Lord, and as the waves came in, my soul was being washed. Now, sometimes I don't have that luxury of getting out to the Pacific. It's you know, 1,000 miles or 1,500 miles out there. But I go up in the mountains, and I'll sit down by a stream and just listen to the water. Just listen to it.
Yes.
And it seems to wash my soul.
Well, that's what David thought, too.
That's what David thought. And I don't know what that is for you in your life, but you need to do that. And you don't just stay in the grind month in, month out, year in, year out. You need to give your emotional part of yourself a break. And then the spirit can begin to percolate. I get really creative when I have those times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it starts coming right up out of the inside of me like an artesian.
Well, that's right. And so many times we read in the Psalms, and especially as you read through the Psalms with us, you will discover that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And then those who followed David, Asaph and the worship leaders, strengthened themselves in the Lord. Here in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. See, he was saying, when all things are dark, I look to the light. The light is Jesus Christ. We don't have to be in the dark. We don't have to be in fear because he's my salvation. He's my Savior. Salvation means he's coming to save me. He's saving me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life or the strength of my life. Whom shall I dread? You don't have any room in your life to dread anything because Jesus, the Savior of the world, has done it all for you. Praise God. Then we have 1 John 4, Darren, 16 and 18. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. We don't have to fear the tribulation, because we know the God who saved us is going to keep us from that tribulation. This verse is so powerful, and there is no fear in love, no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Wow, what a powerful verse.
You know, I circled in the script, I circled the word fear every time it came up and it was four times mentioned in this verse.
Wow.
You know, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. See, we're afraid when we get into that. And I would say this, Psalm 16 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So the more distance we have between us and the Savior, the more opportunity we have to get into fear.
That's right.
So if we get back close and we hang on to him,
sometimes
I think we can say to the Lord and we just put our arms out like you stand right there and say, Jesus, I just want to hug you and would you hug me back? And I was talking to an elderly lady there the other day. I said, you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to meet Jesus. You know what she said to me?
What?
I want to shake his hand. I said, he's not going to shake your hand. He's going to hug you.
That's right. Well, Colossians 3:14, it says exactly what you were saying. As you get closer to Jesus, as you unite with him, the fear is going to go out the door. And it says in Colossians 3:14, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond or glue of unity. Love unites you in Christ. And the first part of Colossians, Darren, Paul is saying, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Think of your life as hidden with him. You are there seated with Jesus Christ. You
what scripture is that?
Enveloped in his love. Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3. Praise God.
That's excellent. And it's talking about focus.
Yes.
Now, folks, I'll tell you, we were driving through Denver early this morning. And right next to us was a big city bus, one of those stretch jobs. And I looked through the window, and right next to our car was this big placard on the side of this bus. I'll bet it was 25 feet long, and it was advertising Harry Potter.
Oh, yes, I see
now,
those.
Now, this Harry Potter thing is going to bring a lot of fear into our culture, into our children. They're going to need deliverance from that spirit of fear, because it's going to set them up for fear. September 11th, with the towers going down in New York, that set a lot of people up for fear. See, what we're talking about here is so practical. But when you minister to people, you say, well, I'm not a minister. I'm not a reverend. I'm not a priest. But I know that. But if you're sharing Jesus with a fearful friend, you're a minister. You're ministering to him. So you may need to know the scriptures that you can say to a fearful friend. Give them scriptures that we're giving here in this message.
Yes.
You can do that. You know, yeah, I mean, seriously, you can do that.
That's right. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, Darren, it says that every word of God is tested. So every verse that you, our friends, say on a daily basis, that's been tested, it's been proved, it's powerful to deliver you from whatever you're asking God to deliver you from. And that's verse 5 of Proverbs 30. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words. That means do not exaggerate. We were talking about fear causes exaggeration. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be proved a liar. Fear brings lying, brings lies. See this? The writer, the words of Agur, the writer of this proverb, is not wanting to get away from God. He's wanting to draw close to God, to be there in his word all the time so that these things don't overtake him. And he says, two things I ask of thee, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. See, fear brings lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Fear causes a spirit of poverty causes fear, Darren. And this man is saying, don't give me poverty, but don't give me riches either, brother, so I don't forget about you, Lord. And that's a great thing to remember in Proverbs 30.